Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to talk about our new DNS server. This is something that's already installed. It's up and running. It's working just fine. There are a few things I need to do in order to make it more reliable, but we'll get there. And it's something you and I will do together. But what I want to also focus on is not just the DNS server, but the process I went through. Because last episode, you talked about your project for your lab where you're trying to automate server 2019 installations. And we went through a process for that. We used our project management process. And so we're trying to refine that and make it better. And so this is what I went through in order to get our DNS server up and running. So first we have goals. And the goal of this project is to create a DNS server on our side of the network because we have two separate locations. Our VMware server is remote to us. And in order to have vCenter server, which we have, vCSA, in our VMware environment, you have to have a domain for that. So it's going to be your internal domain for your vCSA. So in our case, we have section9.lan. You need a DNS server for that. So our authoritative master server is in the VMware environment. It's in the VMware server. That's remote to us. So anytime we do things for the lab, we have to make a modification to our laptops. We change the DNS server, and then we're able to log into the vCSA instance. But that's a pain. Why should we have to do that? So I decided to create a DNS server on our side of the network so that we're not having to make our DNS changes all the time. Because we can't really use the DNS server in the lab 24/7. Because if the VPN connection dies, you have no access to anything. No YouTube, no Facebook, no Google, no nothing. So if we have a DNS server locally, we can avoid all of that. And if something happens to that one, well, we have ways around that. So having that DNS server local is much better. So let's talk about the risks in this case. This is something that's going to be in production. So it's touching the production network. We have to take that into consideration because when you add something to an existing environment, you have to ask yourself if that's going to affect anything else within that network. There are going to be some network changes, possible downtime when we switch over to the new DNS server. And then I don't want this to be overly complicated because that's something that can happen. You try to be fancy, and then once it's in place, you realize, well, now I got to manage this thing and it's a lot of work. But in this case, the overall risk is low, but it's low assuming we have a good process, right? You have to have a process that you can follow that's good enough to avoid some of these risks, right? We don't want downtime, overcomplication, all that kind of stuff.
And one of the things that, you know, we also need to consider is when we are going to do this and when we're going to have the downtime, because at the time I'm working from home and I can't afford to have downtime when I'm supposed to be working.
Exactly. And so that's something we have to take into consideration. So let's look at the process. And this is an overview. High level, we have hardware we have to think about. There's an operating system we have to think about. The network is something we have to look at. Bind9, which is the DNS software I'm going to be using for this, that's something I need to understand. There has to be a configuration for that. We have to know how that's going to get configured. So those are some of the things that I want to look at when we're putting this thing together. And again, it's already installed, so I've done this already. On the hardware side, I've decided to go with a Raspberry Pi 4. Now, I had considered using our old ESXi server. And this was one that we built a long time ago. We ran a few things on it. It didn't really get used much because back then we didn't really understand how to do our projects properly. So it was a thing that worked, but we didn't really do a whole lot with it. So I thought, well, we'll just set it up as an ESXi server. We'll attach it to our existing vCSA box. We'll have two data centers in that case, and it'll be awesome. However, there's a lot of extra management you have to do in that case. And I thought, no, let's avoid that because one of the things I want to avoid that's a risk, and I've listed that already, is not overcomplicating things. Because then when we manage our DNS server, we're not having to just manage DNS. We're having to manage a second ESXi box, it's connected to vCSA, it's another data center in there. Would be cool to have that, but I would prefer to do that as a lab environment type of a thing so that we're not having to manage that for production services. So again, On the hardware side, we're going to be using the Raspberry Pi 4, which is already installed. On the OS side, we also have choices here. We can use Raspbian, which is the operating system that is typically used for Raspberry Pis, but you can also use Ubuntu on here. Now, I decided to go with the Ubuntu 20.04 LTS or long-term supported version because we have other systems that use Ubuntu, and we're sort of trying to standardize here. I don't want to have a whole different Linux environment where it's slightly different than the rest of the things we have, and I have to go learn new things or figure something out because it doesn't match what I have in other systems. So that's why I chose to go with Ubuntu, but we could have used either one and it would have been fine. Now, on the installation side, I have to figure out how to install Ubuntu, and then I have to do some testing because I want to make sure it's working properly. Before I add in things like Bind 9, is the operating system stable? Is it working well? Does it, you know, are we going to have any issues with it? And I think at one point years ago, we tried to install Ubuntu on a Raspberry Pi and it didn't work very well. Whatever the reason was, don't remember what it is now, but it didn't work very well. And so this was back when you had a stack of Raspberry Pis. We ended up going with the default Raspberry OS, Raspbian, because back then the Ubuntu operating system on the Raspberry Pi didn't seem to work for us. So those are some things that you want to take into consideration. You know, you may have a way of doing things or something that you would like to do, in this case, using Ubuntu as your operating system on a Raspberry Pi, but that's no guarantee that it's going to work. So you want to do your testing. And so here, when I did the testing, it seemed to work just fine. Now let's talk about the network. There are network settings for the server. We have to do a network review because we're going to be doing things like adding IP addresses to it. What subnet is it going to go on? All those kinds of things have to be looked at. And I want to make sure that I'm not taking IP addresses from other devices, right? Then you have an IP conflict and it's horrible. So you want to make sure you have that figured out before you do anything with Bind 9 or specific configuration. And then we're also going to be making changes to the firewall. So I have to take that into consideration. Now, that's also a risk because if I make a mistake on the firewall side, that could impact more than just the server I'm trying to install. So again, when we did your project management process for, you know, speeding up the installation of Server 2019, we said we need to make sure we're touching the right machines, the right virtual machines in this case. For this project, since it's physical devices I'm playing around with, I want to make sure I'm touching the right things, right? And then in the firewall, I want to make sure I'm touching things in the firewall that relate to this new DNS server I'm setting up. Because if I make changes in the wrong location, then we could have a disaster that I have to then figure out how to fix, right? So there's some of that that has to be taken into consideration as well. Now let's talk about Bind 9. I need to do the installation, I have to configure it, and then I need to do some testing. The testing is crucial because I need to make sure that Bind 9 can resolve things for Section 9.lan. I also need to make sure it can resolve things like google.com, facebook.com, so that we have access to the internet through this particular DNS server. And then the configuration side, what I did there is I stole some configurations from existing systems we already have because we already run Bind on other boxes, and the configuration I have here is almost identical. So all of that was done, worked out really well. And then in this case, I added a step that we're going to have to do in some of our other projects as well, which is review and documentation. So I reviewed everything, documented the changes. And in this case, since it's a production system, I backed up the Bind 9 configuration so that if the system dies and I have to rebuild it, I can take the configs I have backed up, drop them back into the new installation of Ubuntu on whatever box I have, and it's going to be fine. Now, I still have a few things I need to do, and one of them is to move the Pi over to our UPS. So we do have a UPS. It's a small one, but it is a UPS. So we want to kind of rearrange how we do the power for things and make sure production systems like our Raspberry Pi 4 are on that particular UPS. So if I summarize this thing, just like with your project, we have goals, risks, process, there's tasks. We have to do testing and review, which we didn't add to your project. A little less important on yours because it's a lab environment. In this case, I'm doing something production, but you should still have a testing phase and a review phase so that you know for sure that your project is working the way that it's supposed to when you're done. It's sort of like you're double checking, verify, did I achieve my goal or is there something wrong and I'm missing something somewhere? Thoughts?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask is when you did install the Ubuntu operating system, you said that you tested that it was working correctly. How did you do that?
So in this case, what I did was make sure that this particular installation had a network connection. I could do the updates, and I wasn't seeing any sort of issues when we shut the system down, turn it back on, and I didn't really do a whole lot of testing. But I do recall that when we did this in the past, it just, the boot process was goofy. It didn't always boot properly. It would crash on us. There were just like obvious reasons why it wasn't working. Like it wasn't staying alive for very long.
I mean, the reason why I'm asking is, you know, in trying to learn to develop a process to double check and verify anything new that we install, any project that we work on, I just was trying to understand, like for DNS, that is kind of easier. You know, you ping, you know, you do certain things that they're going to give you your standard answers and you're going to know whether you have internet connection or not. You know, when it comes to installing an operating system, you know, because I did think about that on my project. You know, once that I do my answer file, you know, I need to set it up in a virtual machine to make sure that it's able to auto-install and do that unattended. But how do I know that it did work? And you know, I was like, well, I know what needs to happen for me to be able to tell that it did work. But how do I write down the process to double-check and verify?
Exactly. This is something that is kind of interesting here. And you bring up something that I think is perfect. Because when you're checking your DNS, you're right. You can ping something. You can ping google.com. If you get a response back, then you know your DNS server is working.
Right.
The problem I had with the OS testing is that there isn't really any sort of definitive way to make sure the OS is working properly. But past experience, as I said, has shown that whatever Ubuntu OS we installed on your older Raspberry Pis, it didn't boot properly. It didn't run very well. There were obvious signs that it just wasn't working properly, like it would crash and die on us.
Well, I think the booting process would be one of the easiest things to do. Like you turn off the Pi and then you turn it back on and then it boots up. But what else would you be checking on an operating system that would tell you something's goofy?
So you could check the logs and see if there are any error messages in there, although I'm not sure what you would look for. So in this case, part of my process and part of my thinking was, let's put it in there. Let's make sure it works. I did my updates. I did my check of the network side of things. It seemed to be working okay. And that led me to believe that this was going to be an okay choice. However, I also was aware that my brief time running the Pi in an afternoon is not really enough to say this is good. So what I did is I said, okay, it ran fine for an afternoon. Like we said, the boot process was okay, no issues there. It hasn't crashed yet. Do I call this good or do I wait? So I decided to continue with the project, put the bind 9 on there, and do all my configurations and put this thing into production. We have a way out, although if you look at my notes and the things I've talked about, there's no backout plan. I didn't include that in this project, and we didn't include one in your project either. So that's a mistake on my part, something that I have since changed, and it's part of my future project plan. But what I'm waiting for in this case is, how many days has this thing been running? When do I call it good? Because an afternoon is not enough. So in this case, we've had this thing running now for more than a few days. And so that tells me that the Ubuntu OS is probably working just fine.
So here was the reason why I was asking that, is that I would have a tendency to try to create some sort of baseline to see if the Ubuntu operating system works. And I guess what I wanted to ask is, when you add Bind, if something goes wrong, now you got two things to troubleshoot. Is it something Bind is doing, or is it something that the OS Ubuntu is doing? So for me, I think that if I were to create a baseline, how long will I let it go? Because, I mean, you know, we don't have all the time in the world to complete our projects. Would a week be enough to have a baseline and then add the Bind to it and then see what happens? Or, I mean, I'm just trying to learn the process. So what would you do and why?
So in this case, I think you're moving in the right direction. And I when I look back on how I did this, I think that that's something that probably should have happened, because I'm unaware of, or don't really have any experience running Ubuntu on a Raspberry Pi. And I didn't really check to see if the Ubuntu on Raspberry Pi, you know, how old is that project? Is it in beta? Has it been used a lot? What are other people saying about that? I didn't check for that. I should have. And then I probably should have done what you're saying, which is put Ubuntu on the box and just let it sit there. And maybe I can put a service on there, maybe a web server or something, and just let it sit there and check it every so often, right? Maybe once a day I log into the machine and take a look at the logs. Or maybe I, you know, access the website that's on there, the default one. Because if you install like the Apache web server, you can actually double check that by just going to the website. You know, you open up your browser, put in the IP address of the box, and it should show you something. There's like a default website that it has in there. So that would tell me that the system is running, and it would tell me that the system is able to run a process and serve up a basic website. I didn't do that. And Ubuntu's been around a long time, so I figured, well, it must be okay, but it's probably something that I could have done more checks on in terms of making sure this was going to work for us.
I think for someone like me, being more of a beginner than you are, when it comes to troubleshooting, I really like to stick to what you taught me. Change one thing, and then if something happens, you know, the last thing that you have changed that it may have to do with that, and then that saves you a lot of time instead of trying to troubleshoot five different changes that you have made. So that's the reason why I was kind of trying to figure out how to create the process, because for me, it's a little bit different than you. When I look, you know, my projects are smaller, even though with a smaller project, you have a lot of bits and pieces that you have to worry about. But, you know, my projects are not as complicated as yours, that I'm not dealing with the hardware, the software, all these other different things, the DNS server, you know, all of that. So while all of those things will affect my project, you know, you're the one doing that, and you're the one running the maintenance and that, and you're the one setting the main, you know, network lab kind of thing. When I was looking even at this project that I'm doing, you know, that is like the small project, you know, creating an unattended file or, you know, to do the automation of Server 2019. When I was looking at, okay, I need to have it on a Windows machine, I need to do it from a Windows machine, I need to create the ISO, but then now I'm going to have to create a new virtual machine. I'm going to need to put that ISO in there, and then I'm going to have to let it do whatever it needs to do. Trying to just create that part of the lab on my own could be so daunting, even though I have a lot of the process written down. You know, I'm not going to be as savvy as you to say, anticipate for this or anticipate for that.
So when you're doing your IT projects, and this goes for everybody, there are so many moving parts to even a simple project. And so one of the things that I find sort of annoying that happens in IT, and happens all the time, we all do this, including myself, we try to rush through our projects. We try to say, well, this is easy, it's small, I can go do this. I don't have to worry about, you know, having a plan. But every project is complicated. There's always going to be several moving parts to the project. And the mistake that people make often is that They think it's simple enough to where they can just go do it. But like you're saying, there's a lot of moving parts, even to simple things. So even with this DNS project, which is relatively small-ish, there are things I have to take into consideration. And the reason why we have our project management process is because we want to avoid downtime. We want to avoid mistakes. We want to avoid having to sit there and scratch our heads because we can't figure out why it's broken.
Well, or we want to also avoid to miss any steps. You know, when you set out to do this thing and you had to make the decision between using our other EXSI server versus the Raspberry Pi and how things would affect, you know, it would be, okay, this is one more thing to maintain if I go this way. But then if I go this way, it's still going to affect the firewall, you know, how we do even some of our production stuff. So for me, the creating a checklist has been so important because if I miss a step, I'm going to have a record of what I've done. And then, you know, I can look at it and go, wait a minute, I forgot this, you know.
Exactly. And what I'm trying to do with our process is make it easier for us to organize our projects and easier for us to deploy something, whether it's in the lab or if it's in a production environment, to avoid mistakes, because mistakes equals more work for us. Mistakes equals downtime. And if you're in an actual IT department, you know, working for X organization or whatever it is, mistakes equal more work for your entire IT department.
Or money loss for the company.
Exactly. And so you want to avoid that. And for me, having worked in various environments, it's stressful when things don't work out the way they're supposed to. It's stressful when somebody says, hey, the system's down. Hey, the network's down. Hey, I can't get this. And it's always hard to figure out how to put things back together because a lot of times there's no documentation for that. So,
well, and not only that, I mean, it's hard to put things back together when you don't even have the basics documented. And you can, if you have at least that much documented, you're going to be able to say, okay, I know the basics are done properly. I need to move into the other what ifs.
Exactly. And now our project management process is not perfect, but at least it's helping us avoid big mistakes and missing steps and missing things that we should have, especially in these smaller projects. When we get to larger ones, that's a different situation. But again, it's going to help us avoid certain mistakes because we have a process, which is better than nothing. But I think that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at support@section9.us. If you want to take a look at our show notes, they're going to be on our website. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.